Good morning.
Hi, Todd. Like, I know everyone in this meeting. That's exciting.
Well, and you enter with your ferocious tiger avatar there, so
This
always.
whole week, people have been coming for my tiger avatar. Like, I don't know, something in the air. Every meeting I join, they're like, "What's up with the tiger? Why do you have a tiger?" Like, well, now I'm doubling down on the tiger, so.
So it's just 9:01. We'll give it another couple minutes. I know that Jeremy is unavailable today, so I'll be convening. And Jennifer, you're in good shape for note taking.
Yes, I just opened it up and we're good to go.
Excellent. Well, it seems like people are still coming in, so we'll just give it a another half minute or something. All right. Well, my clock says 9:02, so we'll just say it's officially time to start. So welcome everyone. Jeremy's unavailable today, so I'll be convening. So first off, well, I guess that's the first announcement. You're stuck with me. Any other announcements?
I had one, and and maybe it's like a question announcement. So we here in the Five Colleges, we just got Sunflower with Eureka. I mean, not our production. That would be way too scary. But in our test environment, and so we are currently dealing with permissions, and our systems person wanted to come talk about his experience with permissions. And I was just wondering, is this of interest to the product council? Because he's having a bit of a time with them. So he's wondering if, he could do a presentation and maybe see if I'm not sure what else he wants to present, but it's definitely challenging. If this is of interest, should I put it on the topic calendar?
So I think there are three possibilities that come to my mind immediately. One would be, well, one, why not? Although how where it would fit in our queue of stuff is another matter. I would think that, well, this is certainly of interest to user management. I don't know if they've if you're the systems person's already been engaged with user management. And I would think that the implementer's SIG would also find this interesting. I believe Tara is the convener of that, if I recall.
Me and Darcy and Tom.
Yes. Okay.
And we have done an implementer's some of permissions, and correct me if I'm wrong, I thought they were starting up a permissions working group every other Thursday, or has Mara not bounced back on that one yet?
I think she's calling it a lab.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I can share that with him and
So,
see, maybe have those as first steps. And I don't know, maybe that working group might want to come later to present to PC as well. Maybe. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think what's appropriate probably depends on what's the goal of presenting.
And I just got a very quick hey, what about this? But yeah, maybe starting with those groups and the definitely the permission subgroup. I didn't even know that existed. So yeah, okay.
And then yeah, again, think about like what's the goal, what's the desired outcome of. Okay, thank you. So perhaps I should share my screen. So we're into the housekeeping. So I think that takes care of now. Any other announcements? Okay. If something comes up, please, just raise your hand. Into the housekeeping. So, liaison updates. I'll go first. Not a whole lot in TC that's of general interest to the PC this last week. There was a report on the Eureka early adopters that Stanford's making good progress towards spinning up Eureka. Not there yet, but movement. And then the environment variables are still the topic of dedicated discussion. So that's more the same from last week. Looks like CC, there was no meeting these last couple weeks. Then from release management stakeholders, anything else
Yeah.
from CC and anything else from release managers?
So CSP8 is going through its final regression testing. They're also working on Sunflower CSP number 3, with the hope that, all the work should be done by November 13th so they can get that testing done for, a general release on November 24th. So I included a page to the kind of the home of RMS, which now includes a calendar of fully releases. So, yeah, check it out. It's actually quite nice. And that's it.
Great, thank you. Let's see here. I have instruction to remind people about the, oh wait, there's the chat. National Library of, oh, from Charlotte, National Library of Sweden has also spun up a running Eureka environment, which will be their platform for going live. Excellent. That's good news. Thank you for that. Thank you for mentioning. So, I have a note here to remind SIGs about the December update. So, I believe the TC has been asking now for quarterly updates from the SIGs, and we have this sheet linked to, or this template linked to from the product council notes. Jennifer.
And I also sent out an announcement on Slack to the SIG conveners saying, please fill this out. But generally, it's great if you're a liaison, if you could reach out to your SIG in particular, that always helps as well.
Yes, thank you. And we have conveniently all the conveners and liaisons listed here. So, yes, liaisons, please reach out to your SIGs. I think this is different. This is more general updates than the priorities, with some
description up top. Anything else on the SIG updates? Okay. Reviewing action items. See here, Jeremy Huff was to bring up the newsletter concept with the council chairs, and he's not here to let us know whether that's complete. Yana was going to reach out to Rachel about the Legacy Folio newsletter. Is Yana with us today? I don't
She
believe
sent her
so.
regrets because she's traveling and so on the
Right.
Slack channel. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Thank you. So that just leaves us with Thomas, who's going to reach out to the implementers to determine if their survey can satisfy the PC's goals for a list of modules with maintenance status.
Yeah, we have our planning meeting next Tuesday.
Okay.
So sorry. Yeah, next Tuesday. So yeah, Darcy and Tara is also on here too. So now they're hearing about it, but I'll chat with them about it.
Great, great. We probably should have made that implementers with a capital I so we know it's the SIG.
Can make it lowercase I so it's all implementing libraries. I like that better.
Okay. So I think that's it for the housekeeping. Updates on active initiatives. Working group update. Alexis, would you over to you.
Sure. So we have the community priorities dashboard working group has a draft, a first draft of a charter with goals and all of that stuff. Can you click on it, Todd? Well, you're in the group, so you would have a, it's in the PC, it's in the PC Google Drive, so it should be accessible to everybody. So I would really appreciate, we would all, I'm sure, really appreciate it if folks could, it's just like a little over a page, it's really short. If folks could look through it and give us some feedback, please feel free to comment on the doc. Let us know what you think. I don't know if it's worth, I'm not sure exactly how we want to do it, but that's our update. We have a draft of a charter. We would love feedback, how we want to do that, whether we, ask for comments. Maybe I can also put it in Slack to remind folks, and for the folks who aren't here today, to take a look at it and give us comments. And then, depending on what folks say, we can just kind of move on, to actually doing some of these things.
All right, thank you. Any questions or comments at this point for the community priorities dashboard working group? Okay then. Let's see, the community-directed development framework. We do not have Jeremy with us for an update. Is there anyone else here
So
who
I'm
can give an
here.
update?
Yeah, I'm here. And we have had two work meetings by now, and I posted in this chat link to our charter document, which is still work in progress, but we are getting close. We just have some small, more practical details to work out. So I'd say good progress, and we are, the scopes and the goal, etc. We are trying to be operational, so keeping practical and keeping, and aim for work done in the next 6 months, not longer than that, and then we can present at WolfCon, but The working group feels it is, you know, we want to have the community directed development framework established, and not, you know, it's we want to move on here.
Great. Thank you. Are there any questions for Charlotte? Sounded like someone was starting to talk. Okay, I guess no questions for Charlotte. Thank you. Autumn, how about update on the RMS, on the working group for the RMS PC roles, relations, and communication?
Yes. Okay. So I have, if you refresh the page, Todd, I've dropped a link to the draft of our charter as well in here. We spent a couple meetings working on this, so I think it's close to being finalized, but like Alexis said, it needs some more eyes on it, and we'd appreciate any comments you want to leave. And we're aiming for a phased approach. So we've set some goals for the next 4 months, kind of accounting for the holidays, and then a second phase for the following 3 months. So we hope to be done basically by the spring.
Great.
Yes.
Any questions for Autumn? And if not, maybe we'll ask her to continue with the Better Sample Data group.
Okay. Yogesh is a co-convener with me for this group, and he's on the call today. So thank you to Yogesh for being here. And we just wanted to, I think it's been a little while since this group touched base with PC. So to give you a quick rundown of what's been going on, we kind of have a two-pronged goal to create sample data, like an updated data set of sample data for both like snapshot environments and Bugfest environment. So two different like scales there. Snapshot is going to be smaller. Bugfest needs to be pretty extensive, comprehensive to make community testing more effective and user-friendly. So on the Bugfest front, we'd really love to get a contribution of a member institution's data set and anonymize it and use that. And Yogesh can probably speak more to the efforts on the anonymization side. But just getting an institution to the point where they can kind of agree to this has taken a lot of time. Actually, at Michigan State, I sent a letter to our dean, who sent it to our risk management office a year ago, and we still don't have a response from our risk management office. And actually, I think he believes at this point they're just ignoring us because they don't want to. Maybe they have some other stuff going on. You know, a lot of risk management happening on campus these days. And then on the snapshot side, we have an environment. We have started to populate some sample data there too. That has been challenging on a different front because, at least with loading records into inventory, and we're going to run into the same issue when we're trying to populate user data and stuff like that. Unless the reference data has been perfectly created ahead of time and like with forethought, that's difficult to populate. Shelley Dolajek and I are trying to do that for inventory right now using some scripts. Okay, so I'll stop there. That's what we're doing. Charlotte's been on the group with us and was co-convener with Yogesh before I jumped in. So Charlotte and Yogesh, if you have anything to add, take it away.
did an awesome job, Autumn. All fine.
Yeah, I think you summarized pretty well. So I was going to add the same, but the urgent need, you know, this project we started actually before Sunflower, so we started almost in Gosnelia, and urgent needed for a data set to be valid and validated for the Bugfest. We resolved it by, you know, having POs and others to review temporarily and do it. But longer term, we need some data sets from libraries to actually really simulate data customer environments for testing purposes internally. And this is what we continue to enhance struggle. Stanford has done a great job, you know, writing some of the anonymization scripts. Shelley has been very instrumental for this. So, you know, really appreciate Stanford's effort. And I know right now we are in touch with Stanford in terms of utilizing their data set and getting permission to sector, but their data is not fully anonymized as well. You know, it's anonymized to a certain point. So we cannot share that with everybody, or at least with community testing. So, but we can internally use an APSCO or slash you know, contractors that we have for APSCO for that purposes. But anyways, you know, short is what Autumn really already covered. We are continuing to plow along with this project. Continue to struggle, you know, some days are struggle, and continue to make a little progress at a time. But longer term, I think we need something, you know, maybe in place. I don't know if there's any solution for that here, but this is the status of it. So, and thank you, Autumn, for the opportunity.
Yeah, sure. And you reminded me, Yogesh, one other thing that I thought I would just mention, as the CDDF becomes more realized and as they're thinking about making transparent the resources required for maintenance for various modules. I think maintenance of sample data is also going to need to be a consideration when we're thinking about how resources get allocated. And I know Charlotte had some more specific ideas about maintaining sample data in the long term and who might do that. But I think it's just something that we'll need to keep in mind.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Autumn and Yogesh? Okay, so we had two we have two presentations from the SIGs about their priorities, and I am reminded that we also had the we were also supposed to continue the discussion of the support periods, which might have to get bumped to next week. So let's, since there's nothing, well, any questions on the working group updates? Okay, good. So let's go over to the priority presentations. So for implementers, you guys want to share screen, or we want me to pull something up?
I can share my screen if that's okay. And I
Okay.
know Darcy and Tom are also somewhere around here. Hold on one second. There we go. So yeah, I'm not, this is definitely not going to take 10 to 15 minutes because these are sort of the unusual SIGs that are a little bit hard to have these priority rankings for, but I can definitely talk about what our priorities are as a SIG as a whole. So starting with implementers. So for implementers, you know, as a SIG, I feel like we have some projects that are priorities, but they don't really match up to what's on the priority dashboard here. So as a SIG, our priorities are, we're still very much looking for a new convener. If anyone knows someone who wants to step up, this SIG is very much a lecture series. And so having new voices, new editorial voices, in our convener group is really helpful to keep things fresh and to keep things like relevant to what implementing libraries are looking for. So, just yet another plea, if you know anyone who might be willing to be a convener, we'd love to hear it. Our last couple of topics have been very much in line with what I think like the perfect chef's kiss version of an implementer's presentation is. We recently had an archive space presentation where a few different libraries shared what they are doing to integrate archive space with their Folio migration. And then just earlier this week, we had an amazing presentation on sort of RFID work that led to immediate questions from other libraries about how they could implement similar things. So I think that we're delivering sort of the kind of content that people are looking for, and that's all going very well. We are looking for ideas for 2026 because we kind of ran out of time. We were building that list at WolfCon. So if anyone has any topics they think would be cool to cover, I'd love to hear it. The one thing that I think is sort of missing from our process is that we heard at WolfCon, and actually outside of WolfCon as well, that some of our documentation is more useful than we had assumed. Like, I sort of assumed that we were just doing it for our own entertainment, and apparently people are actually using it. So that's cool to know. So I think we're going to try and sort of build in, like, once we have a session that goes really well, to creating these implementers' guides and other resources. The one that people use a lot that I know of is this guide to label printing. I refer to it all the time. I started trying to do one for circulation configuration because I gave an unrelated presentation somewhere else. It's possible that these guides might be better or more easy to find in the individual SIGs that the functionality relates to, but it's pretty easy to move web pages around if someone wants to move them out of there. I think that's probably not a problem. For now, we'll just keep sort of dumping them in here. So related to that, we are about to start a very small project to attempt to clean up our wiki space because we have stuff all over the places, including in this like Z retired pages to sort, which makes it hard for people to find our stuff. So I think that should be helpful. I know that there's a lot of cleanup projects going on. Cross-app SIG wants to do the same thing, but implementer seems easier, so we're going to start there. Then the other project that we have going on that I think Tom's going to tell us more about next Tuesday, I guess, is this survey to get the implementers directory updated, plus everything that everyone else wants. Hopefully this won't spin too far out of control. I don't know. But we want to make sure that we're not giving people survey fatigue. So we do want to work with other groups that have talked about doing a survey. And I do think it makes sense for implementers to sort of be a I don't know, like the center of the hub for getting all these things organized if it's not going to be PC. We, of course, had hoped to sort of make anyone else but us do this, but I don't know if that's going to work out for us. Okay, and then last for implementer SIG, we do have a couple of tickets on this community priorities dashboard. So these are two things that our members thought were really important. The first is this constant pebble in everyone's shoe. It is the item cost field on item records. This seems like a very small ticket. It would improve libraries' experience of Folio significantly and reduce a lot of strange workarounds. But the problem is that it is basically circulation functionality in a metadata management app, and we just can't seem to get it out of draft and to where it needs to be or prioritized on anyone's list. And so I don't know if there's anything that PC can do to help move this one forward, but you can sort of see like it took a weird path from implementers to resource access to app interaction. I think it's also been talked about at metadata management, and it just never sort of moves forward. So I'm not sure if there's anything that we can do about that. The other ticket on here is a request for basically like new functionality that people who use Folio would like. There are a lot of things that we talk about in the implementer SIG that are like this. So like a booking app, an inventory app, things like that. And I don't really know if those belong on this dashboard or not. And if we want to get into the business of prioritizing them, implementer SIG doesn't typically do prioritization like sessions. We could, but that just isn't what we've been doing this whole time. So that's kind of what's going on with the implementer SIG and our priorities. Darcy or Tom, did you have anything to add?
Nope. I think that wraps it up really nicely. I mean, I would just reiterate that it is difficult for implementers, as Tara said, because we don't have a specific focus. So everything comes into us. It's just whatever the whim of the community is at the point, that point in time. So.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to add. That was great, Tara.
Does anyone have any questions for us?
I
I'll
just
say not. Oh, go ahead.
get so sad about tickets being, pushed around 6 to 6 to 6, that this ticket from Joey and the Spokane Public Library. And maybe that's a classic example on where the CDD development team could come in to play and, do the development. It's not huge work, and it is work broadly acknowledged that it is very relevant. And we also know it is very costly for Spokane Public Library that they don't have this very simple data property in inventory. I'll remember it as one of a classic example, so then we can use that as maybe a school book example for the CDD work.
Yeah, and I definitely do think that the discussions that we had across all of these SIGs were valuable, and they helped to highlight things we wouldn't have thought of, like how many decimal points is it possible for money to have? A thing I had never thought about in my life. I think that like that path that it took was needed and necessary. It's just we can't actually get the work done. And also it's obviously Spokane is the most vocal about this, but it's actually an issue for many libraries who use actual cost and many libraries who have very strict reporting standards that they have to obey because of their local government or other things. So we can't only blame Spokane.
It's also kind of funny too because this is a fairly small feature, but it's also kind of the linchpin for a lot of other work that can happen too, especially like in fees and fines. Like there's a bunch of stuff that I would like to do in fees and fines that I can't do because this field isn't there. So.
Well, great. Thank you for that. Thank you for the presentation. Kind of similar to what Charlotte was saying, to me it makes a lot of sense that, for example, this ticket for an app to support bookings would be on this priority sheet. I think one of the things that was envisioned for the dashboard was that it would percolate up some potential candidates for libraries to gather funding for. So having that highlighted here is good. Think this also highlights again the interesting position where implementers are in, because you guys are getting the stuff that often falls between the cracks and really like practical operational things that happen when people are really using this. This is where the rubber hits the road. So it might be a kind of, it might feel a bit odd in the sense that you have such a broad range of stuff that comes to you, but also it seems like this is really important to have that place where those things can come up.
Yeah, definitely. I think that my one thought on that before we move on is I think that it had been suggested that the things in this list be actionable the last time I sort of checked in, that they be, someone used the phrase shovel-ready, and I really liked it. So like that they be ready for people to actually act on. And things like this booking app or like an app to do shelf reading or inventory, I don't know that those will be, they're so big that I don't know that it, they're not really on the same scale as other things that are on here. So, like these two things are not alike, I think we can say.
Yeah, and it's interesting to think what would shovel-ready be in the context of one of these booking app of like a booking app or a shelf reading app? Is it that all of the features are spec'd out, or is it that you're ready to start sponsoring the specing out? I really don't know. Alexis.
Yeah, that's one of the things we've been talking about in the working group. When we, one of the things we want to try to provide recommendations on is, what's a, what are good examples of different kind, like good examples of tickets, what should be in the tickets, what's like what shovel ready, as you said, shovel ready might mean different things in different cases, right? But yes, ideally these things are these priorities are actionable in some way. But that was, I know that's one of the things that we're going to try to provide some guidance on.
All right. Anything further on the implementer's priorities? And if not, please feel free to continue to cross app.
Yeah, I did try to put these together so that I wouldn't have to come twice, but that does mean you have to listen to me talk for longer. But cross app should be pretty quick here. So for cross app, we actually do have pretty clear priorities in this list here. And it's the same ones that we've had pretty much all year. It's these three search issues, a sort of date picker consistency problem, and then sort of a different flavor of problem about consistency between apps when things are moving around and deleting. And they all seem very like cross app appropriate. But we've really put a lot of focus this year into these search ones because those seemed like a game that we might be able to win. Doesn't seem like that's going to work out for me, but we're still going to try. I think that it's relatively clear what these are asking for, but I still really struggle with how to actually move work forward for the cross app SIG. So for example, this is a ticket that is what it's asking for seems straightforward. Search across full apps should be case insensitive. When we continue to discuss this, there were some exceptions that we of course found, but just the simple case in general, it should be case insensitive. I think that this is, if not completely done, then nearly done with some exceptions in some very like fringe apps like InReach. But this ticket still exists. It's not totally clear where there are still problems, and it's not totally clear how this ticket can ever end. So we have next steps from the very start of this year from Kalila, and like it's none of these are really with the SIG, so it's like we're just sort of watching, and we have a lot of things that are similar to this, and that sort of makes it difficult for us to move our own priorities forward, even though we have twice this year gone to the POs and discussed our priorities. So that's one of the things we're kind of struggling with, and it might make it difficult for our priorities to benefit from the community priorities dashboard in general. So the thing that we've sort of been focused on in the cross app SIG is we've called it search standards and documentation, kind of as like as almost like a backwards way to get this done. So sort of by documenting the issues and making them clear, then it's clear what the work can be done and also users get benefits. So this sort of strategy is helpful because the immediate product is valuable to users, and then it doesn't feel quite so much like we're just spinning our wheels when we do all of this analysis and then we can't move the actual work forward. So at WolfCon, what we talked about was coming up with sort of an external documentation strategy after some discussion after WolfCon, which you can read more about in our meeting notes. We think that we're going to actually request that this be sort of folded into Folio functionality. So we'll see how that goes. Even if that fails, I think that the documentation work, what we heard pretty clearly was that that was valuable to users and putting it anywhere would be of value. So that's sort of been all of cross apps year is trying to get this search stuff moved forward. I do think that that's a great and valuable outcome. I do wish I could find some clarity on how to actually like fully capture what needs to be done for each of these tickets. So that we can just monitor them in Jira and sit back and watch and not have to sort of figure out every time if this work is happening somewhere else. So that's sort of where we are with Cross App. Any questions about that one? Okay, if there are no questions, I will say if our thing works out, it's going to be real cool. So look out for that in 2026. That's kind of all I have for you today.
Great, thank you. So, are there any last follow-up questions on any of the priority presentations? Okay, then we have a little time. And last week we had a discussion. Though it's not on the agenda this week, last week we had a discussion of the PC's support proposal, and we had said that we were going to vote this week. Somehow we missed that in the agenda planning. Are people ready to vote on this? And is there a need for a refresher on the proposal? Alexis.
So I think I finally got my head around this a couple days ago. And I think the part of it that I maybe would like to talk about, if anybody else is interested, is sort of what are the implications of this change? Because that's the part that I think I'm having trouble kind of like, okay, I understand what is being proposed. Now, the implications. There's a little bit of, I think there's a good amount of it in the on the wiki page about how it's actually going to impact implemented libraries. But I would love to actually hear it said in this group, like w that we understand what the implications of this change would be. So do other folks understand? It makes sense to me why it's this is being proposed. Darcy Rueda, who's on this call, explained it to me. Now I understand. But I still am sort of like, okay, but what does this really mean for us? Thomas.
Thomas.
I think it's worthwhile. I know what you mean. I think, oops, I'm trying to share my screen instead of putting my hands down. Sorry. I understood the proposal and kind of understood what the implications are for implemented libraries, but I think explicitly saying in this group that we understand that the implication for libraries would be that support for the previous Flower release would be limited to that 12 or 13 month period. So if we were to drop down to, let's say, one Flower release a year, it means that they may only have a month or two to upgrade to the newest Flower release before the Flower release that they're currently on is no longer supported. I think having that explicitly stated would be good so that we know that others looking back at this know that we went into approving this with our eyes wide open and what it meant for implementing libraries. I kind of agree though, because of what TC is trying to do, I don't want to say we don't have a choice because we do. I feel like to help with their efforts and also keep the best practices in line for what they're trying to do, I think we should go along with their proposal. But yeah, I agree that it should be implicitly said what's going to happen to implementing libraries.
Wayne. I do think that one implication of this, and I sort of hesitate to put it in this way, but I think it's an important statement to make. One implication of this is that libraries who find it impossible to upgrade on the cycle that on a cycle that matches the support period are taking on a risk that security issues will not be fixed by the project. Right. So there's a certain amount of risk that implementing libraries are taking on that they need to sort of be aware of when they do things like say, well, I can't possibly upgrade twice a year because it's just too disruptive to my library. That's fine. You can go ahead and make that decision, but then you are taking on a risk because the project may not be able to support you. And I think that's part of why the technical council wanted to come to the product council and the community council to make sure that we were sort of aligned on saying we're asking our implementers to acknowledge that they may be taking on some risk here.
One thing that occurs to me then is I believe that the proposal had made a distinction for the duration of ransoms that there would be this limited period of time where we can provide security patches, and then like for another 3 months after that, the security team could provide some monitoring or perhaps mitigation advice. There was also some separation out for considerations about functional problems, like if something that's a P1 or P2 emerges after that year, it doesn't prevent a fix from happening and being released, but it doesn't guarantee that one will be released. I think one thing, well, was that a correct understanding? And would an extent Would it make sense to extend the time period where monitoring and mitigation advice would be offered?
That is a correct interpretation. And it is also correct to say that the scope of our document limits that only to ramsons. That ramsons represents an exception because of the delay for Trillium. And specifically, another thing to consider that is not a policy consideration, but a practical consideration. Is that the hosting vendor that also provides most of the development resources still has people on ramsons, and so it's in their interest to continue to provide, for example, functional fixes. That may not be the case, say the next time that a situation like this occurs. And so then it's a question of, so the functional fix piece is still separate from the security piece because the security piece can be a policy decision. The functional fix piece is more of a practical decision in terms of development resources.
And this is also predicated on a continued cadence of two releases a year, right?
Yes. Well, no. I mean,
Okay.
let me say, no, this is predic right. I think what we are saying is that as a project, we will set the end date of support
Right.
for any one release whenever whenever it's sort of time to set that date. Which is presumably, I don't, I had to have to look at the calendar. I'm not sure exactly what milestone it is, but no, we would say the release, the support for Trillium will end, essentially we'll probably be pinned to the end of support for Spring, for the version of Spring, the Spring Boot framework that's being used in Trillium. And regardless of how many releases might happen in between, that's when we would end support. So, I mean, if we go to four releases a year, maybe we would want to reconsider that, but I don't think that that's going to be a problem we are facing in the near term.
Yeah, it seems like the other direction is more likely. Thomas.
Yeah, that actually brought a question up in my mind. The kind of holy grail, I guess, of Folio and Folio deployment has been rolling deployments where there isn't any flat releases at all, but instead individual module releases. And I'm kind of curious if this framework has taken that into account, which it possibly could, or if it would have to be reevaluated if that sort of deployment method is done in the future.
I would say that it has not been taken into account, and it would have to be reevaluated. We are not yet at the point where we are where different applications have their own release cycles. And so that is, we have sort of minor things like that where like things might get released out of band, but not in a real formal way. So yes, obviously we would, yeah, you're absolutely right. This would have to be reevaluated if we move away from flower releases. But since the plan for that has no date on it, I feel like we, I think we felt like we needed to, put this down, assuming that things go forward this way for a couple of years.
That makes a lot of sense to me as well. I think we're that stated goal is far enough in the future that it's not what we're planning for at this point. Alexis.
Two questions. So my first question is, has this been presented to the community council yet? I don't think it has because they haven't met in a while. Or if anyway. And then my second is not maybe not a question, but just sort of a procedural point that I think if we feel ready to vote, the way we usually do it is on Slack, because there's only in addition to the fact that often it's awkward to do it in a meeting, only seven of us are here. Of PC members are here, so probably better to do it in Slack as well. But yeah, does anybody know whether the CC has talked about this yet?
I
This is.
no, I don't think so. I did miss the last CC meeting and I tried to catch up on the minutes, but I don't think it was there now.
So,
Christine.
I can say that from the perspective of the technical council, presenting this to the community council wasn't even on the radar as something that needed to be a part of this process. I can t if we do think that if it's the recommendation of the product council that the community council needs to be either informed in some official capacity or themselves needs to provide input, I can take that back to the technical council.
Sorry, I wasn't. I'm sorry. I thought somebody said that. I wasn't. I'm not saying that I think it. They have to. I just.
Oh no, it's fine. I think that Wayne is the only other person here from the technical council, and can. He might know something different, but it's my understanding that a part of this process is not getting the approval or any kind of endorsement from the community council.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just double checking that. I may have been mistaken. I thought that we were looking for endorsement from both councils, but I'm just double checking that right now. Christy is probably right.
So we are getting close to the top of the hour. What I find myself wondering is that, well, I guess there's something that is weighing on my mind is the fact that it's really quite burdensome to release, to mint these releases. We're having a hard time keeping to it, to a, like every 6 month cadence. We're seeing more delays. As Twilio gets more complex, it seems like we're likely to continue that until we have some shift in managing our technical debt and our QA processes. So I think we're going to see, I think as a practical matter, my impression is that we're likely to see kind of longer gaps between releases. At the same time, the underlying libraries and frameworks are not going to just extend their support periods and their security fixes to let us do that. So what I'm wondering about coming out of this conversation is whether it makes sense to have two different end of support statements, like one specifically about security issues and then the other about functional issues. Has that been bandied about at all to continue to decouple those, or to decouple those in some way? Wayne.
It certainly, I think, was proposed. I don't know that it was seriously considered. The resources potentially that we would, right? Like there's the resources that it might take are not inconsiderable. And I think that the hope at least is that Ramps the Sunflower to Trillium gap is an exception, and that it's not something that's going to happen every year, and so we're sort of operating under that assumption. If it turns out, as you say, that this is becoming, that release management is becoming a more difficult challenge, and we're not going to be able to keep to a cadence that makes it reasonable to upgrade twice a year, for example, then maybe we do need to reconsider it. But it wasn't seriously considered to make it a general policy. It was the intention was specifically to make an exception for ransoms.
Okay, thank you. I mean, it also sounds like if we do find that that's the case, then we have some kind of model to look at and see how it went.
Right. There's no reason why we couldn't say, oh, well, you know what? We have to make an exception, another exception, because Umbrella Leaf is delayed for, excellent reasons. That we have no control over and we can't foresee.
Okay. So we're right up against the top of the hour. So for the people who are here, if we have seven members here, can we move ahead on a vote on Slack over the next week? I have a little bit of head nodding and a thumb up. Okay, then Alexis.
I was trying to thumbs up, sorry.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right, then we will move ahead on a vote this week. Yes. So thank you all. And any last words? All right. Well, thank you all.
Bye.
Have a good
Thank you, Todd.
Thanks all. Care. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone. So long.